morning. Yes, it is. It's a gorgeous day here in the Auburn Opelika area. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Sun is shining. It was a beautiful day yesterday. It's another one today, and we have so much to get to as the college basketball season, regular season, has wrapped up. Postseason play is upon us. So much to get to on the show today. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, alongside me in the studio, as he is every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It's Uncle T-Bone. Happy Monday. How was your weekend, man?
Great weekend. So happy to be back in studio. What a beautiful day it is, Jacob. A lot to talk about. Hard to believe that we're almost halfway through March. March Madness is here. Conference tournaments have already begun.
Yep.
Automatic qualifiers are already happening. And SEC tournament starts this week. The field is set. Auburn with a nice win over Georgia in Neville Arena, locking down that number 3 seed. Have the double bye. Won't go until Friday. Auburn baseball whipping up on a good Austin Peay team yesterday to close them out 2 out of 3 games. Watched some Auburn women's basketball over the weekend. Tough loss to LSU. A wild game with LSU and Mississippi State yesterday for the SEC championship. So, it's here, man. You know, I guess people got spring fever, and teams are fighting for their playoff lives in basketball, and it's basically win or go home from here on out for most people, or at least you should be acting like that, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's how you got to treat the month of March. So a lot to get to today. That's what we're going to do, react to everything that happened over the weekend in college basketball. Men's and women's champions were crowned, and some were eliminated, all sorts of good stuff. So we'll have that on the show for you today. Get into the deep conversation of Auburn and Georgia as the regular season has come to a close. That's a conversation we get to have as well. Some SEC honors for some of our Auburn guys, so get to talk about that. And then Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network will join us coming up in hour number 2. Until then, phone lines are open on this Monday afternoon. You can be a part of the show. Your thoughts and opinions from anything that happened over the weekend. NFL free agency going wild right now, too. That's a lot of fun, too. So anything on your mind that you want to talk about on this Monday afternoon, give us a call. 334-321-1390. That number again is 334-321-1390. So much happened over the weekend in college basketball. You had Duke, North Carolina. You had Houston, who waxed Kansas once again.
Called that one.
That's a good Houston team, and that's a Kansas team that I just don't think is as good as people think they are.
Yeah, they're just getting way too much love. We talked about that on Friday. That's a Kansas team that is leaking oil. They've had some serious issues over the last month. Somehow, some way, in a lot of these brackets and bracketology, whether it's Lenardi or Palm, they still have them ranked ahead of Auburn. I would take Auburn right now in a neutral court game against Kansas, and I would lay it down on the Tigers, Jacob.
Another game that really stood out to a lot of people, one that we talked about, number 15 Kentucky, went on the road to Knoxville and took down number 4 Tennessee. We both picked Tennessee, but if you remember, I said, I got a sneaky feeling Kentucky could win, and they sure heck did. 85-81. Cats are hot. One of the hottest teams in all of college basketball.
Yeah, I think I kind of talked you into jumping on board with me with Tennessee.
I did not
see that one coming. Full disclosure, Jacob Goins was really liking some Kentucky Friday. I didn't see it. You know, I thought that Tennessee had all the momentum in the world, although I am, and you have heard me on this show for a month now talk about Kentucky, and that's a team to watch out for in any kind of tournament play. That's a team this year especially, and it's been like this under Calipari, at least in the regular season. They're more apt to show up for the big-time showtime game, and that's exactly what that was Saturday in Tennessee with the whole nation watching. And go ahead and reestablish themselves as the big cat in the SEC.
Yeah, they're a really good team playing extremely well right now. We'll get into all of that as we go on through the show today. How about number 5, Arizona, goes on the road, loses to an unranked USC team. Number 6, Iowa State, goes on the road, loses to an unranked Kansas State team. That's a Kansas State team, though, that's fighting to get into the tournament. They're trying to get off the bubble and try to get into and hear their name called in Selection Sunday. I mentioned Duke, North Carolina. The Tar Heels go on the road, sweep Duke this year. I don't know what to think about that Duke team. I do know what I think about Kyle Filipowski, though, who that leg looks to be okay after that court storming since it was feeling good enough to trip another North Carolina player in his best Grayson Allen impression. What a dirty play, man.
Well, you said it best. I mean, it seems like Duke's had some players over the years that, I don't know, participate in a little slide tackling soccer style and basketball games. And I'm with you about Filipowski. I thought that, you know, he was done, and everyone was on ESPN talking about how terrible it is and how when people storm courts and he was injured and he's out there throwing, you know, thighs and knees into people.
Yeah, literally.
I mean, come on, man.
It's terrible, man. It was terrible. So that's a good North Carolina team, man. I don't want to see anything with them. 25-6, 17-3 in the ACC. It's not a good conference, but North Carolina is a good team. Number 11 Baylor went on the road and lost to an unranked Texas Tech team. How about Arkansas, the choke job they had against Alabama in overtime? I mean, Arkansas was winning that game the entire time. They were winning for 35 minutes of that game, and they let Alabama come back, get it to overtime, and you already knew what the result was going to happen. You knew yep. exactly how it was going to go down. And Alabama gets a win in overtime, 92-88. And by no means am I making fun of that win. Am I laughing about that win or looking down on that win? And you should not do that either, Auburn fan, because that's a good Arkansas team. And that's an Arkansas team that Auburn very well could see in the SEC tournament if they get hot. I don't want anything to do with the Hogs, but they had a chance to get their best win of the year and couldn't get it done.
Yeah, that's a team that obviously has struggled all year. But over the last month or so has been dangerous to show up at any time and put a pile of points up on anybody like they did Kentucky, like they did Alabama. And, you know, they had that game kind of wrapped up in Tuscaloosa, and Alabama did not play very well for most of that game until late. But once you knew it went into overtime that Alabama was going to take care of business, and I kind of reminded by somebody on Friday saying the exact words, why not take those points? Why not take Arkansas there? And I agree.
Who said that?
That line, I even think I might have said something about a JG guarantee. I don't know. But that line came out Friday, and it was 16.5 points, and we both were kind of shaking our head at it. It dropped rapidly Saturday because I looked back at it. It was 14.5, 14, and you could tell that average Joe out there was gobbling those points. And took your advice, Jacob, and said, why not take those points and see what happens? It was a good bet. Poor showing late for Arkansas. And I'm with you. I don't think that you really want to get mixed up with the Hogs right now. They're no threat to go to any tournament, including the NIT, I don't think. But, boy, oh boy, man, they're playing some good basketball.
Well, it was the combination of the talent that Arkansas has that we all know they have versus the atrocious defense that Alabama plays.
Now, what's up with that, man?
I mean, it's terrible.
You know, at some point, you know, look, I hear people on TV talking about it, and they're, oh, it's an effort thing or whatnot, but, I mean, you're telling me that Alabama's not out there playing hard? I mean, Nate Oates' coach team, they play pretty dang hard. We've seen a lot of them over the years. What's the deal, man? I mean, is it just, I don't know, maybe just individual effort or someone's not giving their all? I mean, they look like they're getting after it out there. They're just getting scored on.
Yeah, they are. Other games around the SEC, Mississippi State had a prime opportunity to get the win needed to secure an NCAA tournament bid, and they couldn't get it done in overtime either. They were at home against South Carolina, and the Gamecocks proved they belong. They belong, and they got a 93-89 win on the road in Stark Vegas, but South Carolina wasn't good enough to get them inside that top four. They are outside that top four of the SEC tournament. We'll look at that as we go. But, yeah, some really interesting results and some big-time games on the regular season. Saturday was, I guess technically yesterday was the regular season finale, but you had a couple of Big Ten games yesterday. Purdue got it done, and so did Illinois. But yeah, now the regular season's done, and it's flown by. I mean, we're in the middle of March, Uncle T-Bone. It's conference championship week. We're now less than a week from Selection Sunday, NCAA tournament right around the corner. Like, where in the world did the season go?
Where did this year go so far? I mean, I can remember it being Christmas, like yesterday.
Yeah.
And I don't know. The NCAA tournament's always like Christmas come early for yours truly, so I'm thrilled about it, and I'm glad that we're here. But, you know, the basketball season in college lasts – it feels like it lasts longer than it used to when I was coming up. And you've heard me talk about this. I break it down into three different thirds, right? You've got the non-conference schedule to open up basketball play before you get into conference play. That's the first third of the season. Auburn did very well there. Then you got the second third of the season, which is conference play. Well, that's over with. And does it really matter that Tennessee's won the regular season SEC championship now? I mean, and I'm not just talking about because they lost to Kentucky the other night. Does it really matter that North Carolina has, other than possibly getting a number one seed in the big dance? You could throw everything out now, Jacob.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you could throw everything out. Arkansas, a team you talked about, they'll open up as the 12 seed against Vanderbilt, 13 seed. They'll take care of business in that game. Those kids don't want to go home.
No.
So you're going to get everything they got, despite the fact that they went 15 and 16 in the regular season, including conference play. No one cares. Throw it all out because we're in the last third of the season. It takes forever to get here, but it'll be done very quickly because it's just 1 month, right, at most. And I can tell you one thing. If I'm sitting there at number five, South Carolina, I don't want to see Arkansas that second day.
Because
all
Auburn,
they can
I don't
do,
see them.
All they can do is hurt my big dance seating.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And they're playing good basketball. I'll tell you another team I don't want to see right now. It's Texas A&M.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about them.
A team fighting for their lives.
Fighting for their lives. And then all of a sudden, they kind of disappeared about 6 weeks ago, and we kind of all wrote them off. But all of a sudden, they're sitting there as the seven seed in the SEC, and they could be that seventh team taken for the big dance, and not Mississippi State, who's just fallen to ninth.
Yeah.
And they're going to get all they want from LSU. I can promise you that.
You think so?
Oh, when they open up on Thursday, you think LSU wants to go home?
No, probably not.
They want to keep playing basketball.
Yeah. Well, hey, I want to get into that a lot more as we go. But the other big thing that happened, and we talked about, we kind of mentioned this in the open, was the women's team, the women's game yesterday. The Auburn women lost on Friday in a not necessarily a heartbreaker. It was pretty much a... It was pretty much...
Well, that's ugly basketball.
It was ugly. Yeah, it was ugly for sure. And look, LSU is just a good team. They came out and played their best game, and they let Auburn have it on Friday night. But the championship game yesterday in the SEC Women's Tournament, the game itself was really good. Like, I watched it. It was good. It was a good game yesterday between LSU and South Carolina. Two of the best teams in the country. Two of the best teams in women's college basketball. But the whole thing got completely overshadowed, and the game itself and the result even was watered down because of the brawl that broke out, the back alley cat fight that broke out. I mean, it was unbelievable, Uncle T-Bone, and what happened in this game yesterday. I want to get to the responses in a second, too, but man, what a bad showing for both of those teams.
You know, it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy, and we mentioned it earlier. When the Wake Forest students and crowd rushed the court and the guy from Duke got sort of hurt and everyone went crazy, and I heard everybody on radio shows and TV saying something has to be done, and you had all kinds of ideas from the team that allows people to storm the court to having to forfeit the game to having a shot clock to when you can rush the court if you're the home fans to let everybody get off the court. And but the thing I heard more than anything was, well, somebody's going to come out of the crowd and do some damage. Well, guess what?
Yep.
Somebody's brother, I believe for South Carolina, jumped over the scorer's table.
It was LSU.
Oh, excuse me, for
LSU.
LSU
player, yeah.
They were ready to scrap and throw down with their sister who was on the court kind of pushing and shoving. They got cuffed and stuffed, Jacob.
Yes, they did.
And they're out of here. So, you know, here we go. Someone jumping out onto a court now trying to have fisticuffs just because their sister's out there and they're just kind of pushing each other and grabbing each other's weaves.
Yeah, it was terrible, man. So you had the South Carolina player that just full on shoved the LSU player. That's whose brother came onto the floor. He, okay. Like you said, he got Roscoe P. Coltrane and cuffed and stuffed, and he got walked off.
He's
the
going
floor.
To the clink.
He is. He's going to get buried under the jail, right? And no, he did get charged today.
I saw that.
And rightfully so. Like, man, you can't do that. You cannot do that. You have no right as a fan, as a spectator, to. And the reason he got charged, did you see why? According to the ESPN article that I saw, he got charged because he shoved down an SEC employee and stepped on her shoulders get over and get onto the floor. That's what happened. That's why he was charged. So,
Number one rule out there.
Man, they taught this in kindergarten, man.
Keep your hands off the ladies.
Keep your hands to yourself, man.
Man, come on, man.
Don't touch anybody.
Keep your paws to yourself, big man.
Not that hard, man. And
now that you've pushed some woman down just to get involved with the fight,
yeah.
Here come the charges, bro.
You better believe
it. No mercy.
And the bigger thing, too, well, not the bigger thing, but the other big thing, I should say, is the responses from both head coaches. You had Dawn Staley from South Carolina who said, "This is not us. This is not what we do." She said, "I sincerely apologize. This was bad. This is a horrible look for us in the SEC. And, this isn't going to happen again," type of thing. Whereas in the South Carolina players said that as well. The LSU response was, "Well, that don't touch us. Don't shove us. Don't push us like that. You're going to get what you get," type of thing. We're not scared right. of South Carolina. Like, I don't know, man. It's just two different programs right now and two different mindsets, I think, and attitudes towards everybody else that you're competing against.
Yeah, I mean, I guess when you're the defending national champion in anything, you're not going to let anybody push you around, right?
Which is fair.
But I saw a little bit of that edge, I'll say nicely, to LSU Friday when I watched them just butcher Auburn. Auburn couldn't hit anything.
No.
It was like 25-2.
They started off on a 21-0 run.
And I was like, it was Chris Porter on the LSU team. I mean, they were just they were dominating Auburn.
Yeah.
But you saw a little bit of their edginess, and they don't take, and their coach obviously doesn't take anything off anyone.
No.
And the players react to it. Listen, if somebody shoves one of my players down, I'm going to probably get over there and get involved a little bit. But, you know, folks are going to have to kind of grow up. You know, that's just all there is to it. And this whole, "Well, I'm so sorry, that's not us. Well, please don't suspend my players," is what she's saying.
Yeah.
We've got an NCAA tournament coming up that we want to win.
Well, the girl from South Carolina is going to face something because, I mean, that whole situation just can't happen. And it does sometimes, and tempers flare in sports. That's how it goes. But, unfortunately, a really good game and a really good result got watered down because of it.
Yeah, there's just too much jawing in sports for my liking in today's world. And I don't want to sound like some type of boomer old, go home, dad.
Get off my lawn, granddad.
Get off my lawn, guy. But there's just another example of there's just far too much jawing that goes on in sports.
Yeah.
And South Carolina's won enough not to get down there and get up in somebody's grill. And when you're beating someone, have some class. And when you're getting beat, have some class.
Yeah. It's a lost art, man.
It really is. We heard the greatest of all time in college football say it on his way out in the interview last week with Chris Lowe. "I didn't like how my players reacted to us losing to Michigan. They were just pouting like entitled babies," is what he said.
There you go.
Pretty much.
There you go. 334-321-1390. We'll take our first break here in hour number one. We'd love to hear from you. More college basketball talk when we come back here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. We'll get to the Auburn and Georgia game from Saturday and kind of looking at all the results from there. Before we do, I want to mention baseball really quick. What a crazy series it was for Auburn baseball this weekend. Back and forth, up and down. Speaking of emotions, man, there were all sorts of them flying around Plainsman Park. this weekend. It was a Mason Maynard's walk-off homer on Friday night to get the weekend started. And you knew...
Yeah, he's not a big power hitter either.
But he got a hold of one,
No, that's for sure. No kidding. I mean, when I saw him last Wednesday, he was playing a little bit of small ball in that batter's box. So out of all the people you said in the lineup that was going to walk one off, I wouldn't have put my money on him.
And that's a good
so
Austin.
So good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good Austin Peay team that gave Auburn everything they wanted. Auburn had to get one in the eighth and one in ninth to come back and tie it and then to win it. And you knew right then and there, okay, this is going to be a fight this weekend. Right. And that's what Austin Peay gave them on Saturday afternoon. They came in and dropped 15 runs on Auburn and let them know about every single one. That is an Austin Peay team that is very good on offense, has the pitching sometimes, but man, when they hit the ball around, they are going to let you know. They're going to chirp, they're going to talk, they're going to make some noise on the bases and in the dugout, and that's exactly what they did against Auburn on Saturday, so much so that Butch Thompson said in his post-game interview on the Auburn Sports Network, that was the worst game that I've ever been a part of as Auburn's head baseball coach. You don't throw that around lightly, Uncle Tebow.
When the big man starts saying things like that, you better have your head on a swivel if you're a player the next day and the weeks to come. I'm going to take this back about Maynard. He does have 3 home runs so far this season. So got a little pop in the bat, only 7 RBIs, but 3 dingers. I did not know that. He's currently batting .383, Jacob, and leading the team in batting average. How about that?
There you go. Well, again, Butch said that, and a lot of us were talking. It had to have been intentional. You don't say that unless you're trying to get a message across to one group and one group only, and that's your team, your guys. Be like, hey, this is unacceptable.
He basically said, you just let Austin Peay from Clarksville, Tennessee, walk into our house and basically go up into our refrigerator and drink all our beer, and then they all yelled at you and said, go get us some more.
Yep, that's exactly what happened. Auburn had, I think, 7 errors on Saturday. Like, you can't do that, especially against a good Austin Peay team, who I think is going to make a regional. I think they're that good. I think they're
Jacob,
that good.
They've already beaten Mississippi State twice this year.
Yep.
That's no joke of a team there, my friend.
Exactly. And then the rubber game on Sunday, the one that Butch Thompson was looking for a response for out of his squad, well, that's exactly what he got. Auburn went in yesterday, and they were not happy with how Saturday went, so they responded on Sunday afternoon, 24-5 in a 7-inning run rule. And Uncle Tebow, they could have put 100 on them. They could have put 100 on them if they went 9 innings.
Yeah, that's what we like to call the answer right there. Jacob, quick question on that. Do you think Auburn football could have beaten Austin Peay in football last year, 24-5?
24-5.
Last year, not this upcoming year.
Last year. I don't know. New Mexico State has something to say about that. But, yeah, 24 runs in 7 innings of baseball. Look, Auburn, you had to have that. You had to have it. And the non-conference schedule wraps up this week. You've got Troy coming up tomorrow, and then you open up SEC play on the road at Vanderbilt. The same weekend Auburn baseball is in Nashville is when Auburn fans are hoping that Auburn basketball will be in Nashville. They'll be there Friday, but you got to stay. You got to win to stay. And so if you're an Auburn fan, I mean, a prime opportunity this weekend, go up, watch some basketball and some baseball. You've got a great chance to do it up there in Auburn North.
Yeah, quick note on the game tomorrow against Troy. That will be up in Madison, Alabama, just west of Huntsville. I guess that's going to be in the Trash Pandas home stadium there at Toyota Field. So Auburn will not be on the plane. So if you're going to go to that game, you might as well just go on and head up to Huntsville tomorrow and then head up to Nashville for a Friday set against Vanderbilt and hopefully see the Auburn basketball team win the SEC tournament while you're at it.
There you go. Lots going on. We're going to talk Auburn basketball, their win over Georgia. Start looking at the SEC tournament. That's all coming up here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
Jacob Goins on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. And let's do a little bit of that, Uncle T-Bone, as we dive into the Auburn basketball game. They beat Georgia over the weekend in a nice day on Senior Day. Nice way to end the regular season. Tigers take down the Dogs once again.
Yeah, they put up 92 on Georgia. Let the Dogs kind of play with them a little bit in that second half. Tigers take down Georgia 92-78, going to sweep them for the season. That's always a good feeling to sweep those dirty Dogs in the entire season. Denver Jones.
He is the man.
And, boy, I hope he stays hot, because if he does, you better watch out. He gives you that extra vertical out there on the outside, that knocking back shots that Auburn's going to need to move forward. Play either position at guard. He can really play anywhere over on the court except down low. Plays very good defense. Super impressed with his game Saturday. Jani Broome having another solid game along with Jalen Williams.
Jalen Williams caught that body. Finally, he got that dunk to go down. Yep. And the place went absolutely insane.
Yeah, I kind of closed my eyes hoping that it wouldn't go down with another knee injury on that thing. And he takes care of business. And the other big man, Dylan Cardwell, goes for 10. Has 3 rebounds, 4 assists. Big man takeover against Georgia. That's just all there is to it. They dominated the Dogs down low.
Man, you start looking at bench points. You mentioned Dylan Cardwell with 10. You have Chaney Johnson with 8. You have Trey Donaldson with 7. And Katie Johnson with 6. That's strong. Yeah. That's really, really strong. Like, your bench points are good enough to beat a team. Like, that's how good they are. You have just numerous guys that can come off the bench and be effective playmakers, effective scorers that can change the game. I mean, the fact that you are getting 20 or 30 points off the bench, teams can't compete with that. And we've talked about the depth all season long, but man, that's effective basketball. You're getting massive amount of minutes and points from these guys. Not to mention the high level of production you got from your starters once again. Denver Jones is playing his best basketball of the season. 21 points. All of them were from behind the arc. 7 of 9 from downtown.
Boom.
Had a few rebounds, a few assists in there as well. A couple of steals on the defensive end. If you, and I told our good friend Jack Hutton this on Saturday, I said, if you consistently get 12 to 15 points from Denver Jones, and 2 or 3 of those are from downtown, Auburn is a really tough team to beat. He is the X factor that takes this team to the next level. Now, if you get into a game where, yeah, Aiden Holloway only has 4 points again, and Denver only has 4 to 6 points, yeah, that's not going to get it done out of your starting guards. But Denver Jones going for 21 points and just being an absolute threat from downtown, yeah, that's a really tough team to beat on top of the 14 you get from Jani Broome, first team All-SEC, by the way. Jalen Williams got another 13, didn't have a great day, but a good enough day for Auburn, and was able to knock down a 3 there late to give him that 13. And you got 6 from Chad Baker, who's kind of cooled off a little bit since that Georgia game, but you're just spreading the love, man. And when you get 92 points, you shoot 51% from the floor, 47% from downtown. Yeah, that's really effective basketball.
Speaking of spreading the love, Tigers have 29 team assists to Georgia's 9 in that game.
It's a Bruce Pearl record.
20
in his time
more
here.
Assist, and you're like, wow, somebody must have really gone off, like the point guard or you know. So it's across the board.
Yep.
You know, out of all of those assists, 5 is the biggest number. It comes from Jani Broome, and the other 5 from Chaney Johnson, who once again goes out there and gives you nothing but very quality minutes in big man play. Auburn's coming at people with waves now. And if this keeps up and they get to rolling, especially in that tournament, the big dance, not the SEC, where all of these SEC teams have already seen Auburn, right? Mm-hmm. And Auburn's seen all of these SEC teams. But how do you mimic in the first couple of rounds, if you've never played a team like Auburn, how do you mimic them in practice? You can't do it. Look at these numbers just in assist alone. Broom, 5. Williams, 4. Baker Mazar, 2. Denver Jones, 3. Trey Donaldson, 2. Chaney Johnson, 5. Dylan Cardwell, 4. I mean, spread the love, baby.
Yeah, exactly. And there's not many teams that can compete with that. And you also look at what Auburn's doing, shooting the ball, sharing the ball, not turning the ball, taking care of the ball. All of those things are what will win Auburn basketball games in the SEC tournament and in the NCAA tournament. And you look at some of the awards that were given out today. Auburn's Denai Broome was named first team All-SEC. Jalen Williams, All-Second Team SEC. And Aiden Holloway was named to the All-Freshman Team. So, overall, Auburn's got great players all over the place, and good for Janai Broome for being named first team All-SEC. He earned it.
Oh, golly, did he earn it. What a great season he's having. Just continues to be a leader on the court. Boy, I mean, you know, he's sneaky good too, man. You know, you look down, he's gone about 10 minutes, hadn't really done a whole lot, and all of a sudden just rattles off like 14 points and 6 rebounds. And as teams wear down in the tournament, and Auburn continues to hit them with waves as long as everyone's producing in those waves, Broome will just rack up. He will rack up points late in games, especially on fouls if he can make his free throws.
334-321-1390. Get on in here. Give us your thoughts. We want to hear from you. We'll get to Andy. You're on the line, man. What's up?
Hey, how are y'all?
Doing good, man. What's on your mind?
So, man, what a ride where I remember months ago, Auburn was amazing. Alabama wasn't that good. Kentucky wasn't that good. Now, then we went to Alabama's amazing. Auburn's not that good. Kentucky's finding their feet. So, I mean, just and then Florida losing to Vanderbilt.
Yeah, well, I mean, what was that about?
I don't know.
It's the voodoo. It's the voodoo in that gym, Andy. That's what it is.
I know we struggled with it for a while. That little drop down crazy floor they have.
Oh, my gosh, we've lost up there a pile of times. I'll tell you what about Florida coming in as that sixth seed in the SEC. They'll catch a great draw from the winner between Missouri, Georgia, and that is a good warm-up game against Alabama, who they have played very well this season, Andy.
That's right. Alabama didn't do that great against Arkansas, and then you got Houston just wrecking a good Kansas Jayhawks team, right?
Yep. That's a really, really good Houston team, man. They're this is not a hot take by any means because they're probably going to be the number one overall seed, but I mean they've got to be the favorite to win it all. They're playing better than just about anybody.
And now Houston, I was at Sky Bar with my wife, and it was a pretty crazy night. Houston's the team that put us out, right?
Years ago? Yep, last year actually. Yeah.
Oh, was it just last year? Okay. Mm-hmm. Who did we go to Final Four against? And they had that crazy shot.
That was when Auburn beat they beat New Mexico the first game. Then they beat. They played Kansas, then North Carolina, and then Kentucky all the way to the Final Four. And then Virginia is the one that beat us in the Final Four. Yep.
Yeah, I guess that was a really crazy night at Sky Bar. I don't remember Virginia. Well, anyways, I guess we lost by a point, but I had someone over at half and at the end of the game, and I couldn't believe we hit that halftime over. It was getting kind of slow there for a little bit.
Yeah.
We weren't letting other teams score again. And bam, last 8 minutes, it was just a shootout, and that was one of the highest scoring halftime that I've seen between us and our opponent. Usually we score a lot and we hold them down, but what a terrific way to end it, and hopefully we can ride this wave, man. But it's been a good ride so far. Appreciate it, guys.
Yep, appreciate the call, Andy. Always great to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Yeah, the first half, Auburn scored 45 and held Georgia to 31. You did exactly what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
Bruce Pearl brought this up in his post-game press conference, that you do give up 47 points to Georgia in that second half. That's been not necessarily a trend this year because Auburn has cleaned that up quite a bit, but you remember early on in conference play, Bruce was not happy with the second half performances, not being able to put 40 minutes together, right? Where, I mean, Auburn got beat the other night in the second half in the midweek, and then in this game, yeah, you tie with 47 points in the second half. So not that it's overbearing, not that it's a thing that Auburn fans should stress about, but it's the thing that coaches get upset about when you give up 47 points to a bad Georgia team.
Well, it, you know, it was even at the end of the regular non-conference schedule leading into conference play, Auburn was playing some pretty shoddy defense occasionally later in games, right, and giving up some second-half points they shouldn't have. I don't really care about that right now. He's just looking for something to try and coach these guys on. We're past all the, hey, guys, if you don't get it together in the second half, you know, come March – You're not gonna win basketball games.
Yeah,
this is just a coach looking for something to kind of get onto his guys about. They just scored 92, won another game by double digits. In fact, I think they've won every game that they've won this year by double digits.
All 24 victories were by double digits.
Auburn's playing as good as anybody right now in the SEC, just about, if not very close to it. Auburn's got just as good a chance, in my opinion, to win the SEC tournament as any of the top six teams do. We're going into the NCAA tournament. We'll be a 4 seed or better. I think we should be a 3 if we do a little damage up in Nashville. This team's fine. This team's good. Hey, coach, it's okay. You can lighten up a little bit. Yeah. They just dominated Georgia again this season. Mm-hmm. They're playing some of the best basketball they've played over the last 3-4 games that they've played all year.
Shoot, I'll go one step further. They're playing the best basketball they've played all year.
This team is, can't believe it, gotten better.
Yeah.
As the season's gone on. That's a great sign. And they still play hardcore defense when they need to. Look, man, they built up a 14-point lead over Georgia at the half. Everybody knew that game was over.
Yeah.
Well, don't worry about it, Bruce. It's all good.
I've never, ever in my life, I've never seen where a team wins 24 games in a season.
Never seen it.
And every single one of them was by double digits. Now, there are good and bad, and we'll get to that. But the fact that they did not win a close game, I don't quite know what that says. The fact that they, when they won, they won. And there was no doubt. But the fact that they weren't able to close out some of those other games that they lost that were close games, can you technically say that Auburn can't win close games? I'm not saying that, but there's an argument to be made, right? There's an argument based off the results. But 24 wins in a season, all of them by double digits, I don't care who you ask. That's impressive.
Yeah, you can technically say that, Jacob. I just don't think it really matters right now. It mattered when we lost those games. But I guarantee you, if Auburn gets a close game, they can win a game in tournament play. I'm not worried about that. Look, this team shot 23 three-pointers Saturday against Georgia, hit 11, almost 48%. Dude, if they shoot 48% in these tournaments moving forward, you better watch out. From behind the arc?
Yeah.
I mean, you better watch out. Now, they're going to have to clean that free throw up. This is still kind of frustrating me a little bit, but I guess when you're beating teams by 15, you don't have to knock back too many free throws.
They better figure that out.
15 of 25, 60%. They're going to have to do better than that in tournament play. That could cost them a close game.
Well, I'm telling you, and that's the thing. I was going to say that before we get to break, is if this Auburn team wants to make a run, let's say they make a run to the Final Four, you're going to play a game within single digits. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that Auburn's not going to win every game in the tournament by double digits. I think that's a fair statement to make. And
right. You
have to knock down free throws in close ball games. And this team, if there is something to knock on them, which is crazy because there was a time this year that we were talking about how good they were from the free throw line. So I don't know. I think it's going to be fine. Auburn ends the year on a 3-game win streak, doing exactly what they were supposed to do. They're a 4 seed in the SEC tournament. We'll talk about that, wrap up hour number one, and get to the phone lines. All of that coming up when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Let's get to the phone lines as we wrap up hour number one, 334-321-1390. This guy heading on his way over to Glenwood. Christian, what's up, man? How are you?
What's up? How are you?
We are good, man. We are good. Christian Griffin heading over to Glenwood School. He's going to be calling some Lee Scott baseball this afternoon. He'll be filling in for me so I can lock it down here in the studio. So you'll be on the air. Tiger Country 104.5. You'll be on the air in about an hour or so, right?
Yeah, about 3:45 Central Time is when we're going on. But you know, I heard y'all talk about Jones being the difference maker, the X factor that he can provide. T-Bone was talking about a little bit. I don't think it's talked about enough with how this team honestly does remind me a little bit of the 2019 Auburn team. I think there's certain things with teams and with players starting to fill out their roles a little bit. I mean, does Jones not give you a little bit of a Bryce Brown vibe to it behind the three-point line or being able to go and attack? And then you look at the point guards, obviously a little bit different, but you've seen Aiden Holloway have that Jared Harper range here and there. Trey Donaldson coming off the bench almost as a Javon McCormick. And then Chaney Johnson really, really starting to feel that vibe. I can see it almost as like a Dangelo Purifoy type, that big four guard that can stretch you out a little bit but willing to go get those rebounds. What are your thoughts with how those guys compare?
Well, I like it. I mean, I'll say this. I think that Auburn's bigs this year are producing at a little bit better clip than the bigs in 2019.
Yeah.
That guard play on those teams was beyond excellent. And if Holloway can step up and mimic just a little bit and carry what Harper did during that time, I'm with you.
Yeah, I think that Aiden especially, we've seen him drive the ball a little bit more, and it was something that he wasn't necessarily doing early on. And, man, I'd love to see if he can start to collapse that defense and give him that three-point shot, to give him the open one. Take the ball out of his hands a little bit. Let him get in that step and shoot, that rhythm three. I'd really love to see what he could do. But I just wanted to see y'all's thoughts with everything, and that was all that I had as I make my way up here to Glenwood.
Awesome, man. Hey, safe travels, and I'll be checking in on you over there at Tiger Country for Lee Scott Baseball. Appreciate you, man.
Yes, sir.
That is Christian joining us on the phone lines. And look, I like the comparison. I do. I like the comparison. I think, obviously, that team probably, I mean, well, numbers-wise, it wouldn't really show it, but I think that team top to bottom maybe shot the ball a little bit better from the outside. But
later in the year, for sure.
But the comparisons of, okay, you had a Anfernee McLemore and Dangelo Purifoy on that team. Okay, well, how about a Chaney Johnson and a Chad Baker-Mazzara, right? You have those guys, the bigger guys that can go for a rebound, get a stop on defense, but if you need them to step out, I'd say Chad Baker a little bit more than Chaney, but they can step out and knock one down if they need to. And then, yeah, Denver Jones getting that hot hand takeover mentality. Man, if he can continue to put the ball on the floor as well, I'm telling you, he is the X factor for Auburn. It used to be Jalen Williams. That's not the case anymore. Jalen still has to play well. Sure, he still has to play well, but if you get 15 points out of Denver Jones with two or three of those from behind the arc, this team is borderline unbeatable. And you mentioned it, Uncle T-Bone, the post presence is better on this team than it was then because of Jani Broome and because of Dylan Cardwell, who was coming off the bench and giving you 10 points and 6 rebounds. Like, you cannot defend that. You cannot prepare for that. And this team has some serious potential. I just don't know how far they go. I think they could go to the Final Four. I think they're that good. And I'm starting to feel better about them not losing in a first or second round game, depending on who they get matched up with.
Yeah, I got to see the matchups. That's the whole key, right? Let's just take a micro look at matchups moving forward in the Southeastern Conference tournament. And these are good matchups for Auburn to get to Saturday, right? To get into the Final Four of the conference championship. And if you get that close, anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're gonna most likely catch South Carolina, who's going to have to play Vanderbilt or Arkansas, the 13 and 12, on Thursday before one of those teams plays Auburn on Friday. I'm going to go ahead and say Arkansas beats Vanderbilt. South Carolina or Arkansas. If Arkansas somehow beats South Carolina, they're going to have to go to day three against this wave. And we've already seen what Auburn can do against South Carolina at home. Good team. Gamecocks are solid. Just don't think they have quite the depth that Auburn has. That's the biggest difference between this team in 2019. I think they had a little bit better, more exceptional play with a few players. Man, oh man, this team's deeper than that 2019 team.
Coming up in hour number two, the latest bracketology from Joe Lenardi. A couple of SEC teams on the bubble. Where does Auburn sit? And we'll take a look at that SEC tournament bracket as well. That's all coming up in hour number two.
Is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two on the Monday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7. Alongside me in the studio is Uncle T-Bone. If you missed any of the first hour, lots of basketball talk reacting to what happened over the weekend. Started getting into Auburn basketball, their big win over Georgia. A couple of Auburn players, a few of them actually, were named to some SEC all teams, and so we had some conversation about that. Jani Broome, first team all SEC, Jalen Williams, second team all SEC, and then Aiden Holloway, freshman all SEC. So that's what we had in the first hour. I had a couple of good phone calls as well. Want to keep continuing talking about basketball. That's the season that we're in. You do have football getting underway, back underway this week, Uncle T-Bone, with Auburn football spring practice. So we have some things to talk about with that as the week goes on. But looking at the latest bracketology and the SEC men's tournament bracket, we'd love to get your thoughts on any of this. 334-321-1390. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network will join us coming up later on in the hour as well. You look at this SEC tournament bracket, and it's something we're going to talk about as the days approach with the first games coming up on Wednesday night. You have Missouri as the 14, taking on Georgia as the 11. You have Vanderbilt as the 13, coming off a fresh win over Florida this weekend, taking on that number 12 Arkansas team. Mississippi State is the 9, taking on number 8 LSU. Number 5 South Carolina will play the winner of Vanderbilt Arkansas. Ole Miss and Texas A&M, that's a great second round game. Winner of that takes on Kentucky. Florida, off that loss to Vanderbilt, they're the 6th seed. They'll take on the winner of Missouri and Georgia. The winner of that goes on to play Alabama. And Auburn will await South Carolina, Vandy, or Arkansas. Tennessee awaits the winner of Mississippi State and LSU. I think a lot of our listeners would agree with this, but wouldn't you agree that even though Auburn is the 4th seed, wouldn't you say they got the best draw in the SEC tournament bracket?
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, it's that lines up well for Auburn there. Now, Auburn's fortunate, very fortunate right there to get that draw. Didn't Ole Miss and Texas A&M play Saturday? And Texas A&M
waxed them.
Just completely dominated
them. Texas A&M,
here's your reward that y'all get to play again. In game 5 of the SEC tournament.
Well, that Texas A&M team, I was telling you during the break, they are all of a sudden, here comes Buzz Williams and A&M again. Yeah, they beat them 86-60 in Oxford, Uncle T-Bone. They beat them by 26 points in their place. And yeah, now they're turning around and playing just a few days later. And that Texas A&M team, according to Joe Lenardi and Bracketology, they are now on the bubble. They're now the first 4 out. And according to Joe Lenardi, if Texas A&M were to win, they would win, and I think they'd be in. And he says they are out without the win over Ole Miss. So the win over Ole Miss doesn't even put them in, but they have to win it just to keep themselves on the bubble. That's a shaky spot to be, man.
Oh, yeah. But at least they're there. I mean, a couple weeks ago we thought they were through. A&M 19-3 on the season. just waxed Ole Miss at in Oxford, then catches them again on a neutral court. They take care of business. They go to 20-13 and then would have to play Kentucky, who they beat on January 13th at home, 97-92. Kentucky was ranked number 9th then in the country. Speaking of Kentucky with Lenardi, is there a team that shot up quicker than they have in the last month? They were looking around a 6 seed. It seemed like a month ago. He's got Kentucky now as a 3.
Here come the Cats.
Here come the Cats. They would play in Lenardi's bracket, College of Charleston, and then catch the winner of Wisconsin, either Virginia, St. John's, in a play-in game. Boy, you got to like Kentucky. That would be a good draw for the Cats.
Gosh,
you know, none of these are going to be exact, too. This is kind of what bothers me. It's like, Lenardi may occasionally.
Well, look at this Google Doc he's got going right here with all these win and you're in, out without this win, win here, then win again.
I can't deal with those type of metrics.
Man. I mean,
And let me tell you something I see that's bothering me about his bracketology is a team that beat Auburn, a mid-major at best in Appalachian State, that loses on a buzzer beater yesterday to Arkansas State in the Sun Belt. 27-7. He doesn't even have them anywhere on the last four buys, last four in, first four out, or next four out. They're gone.
They're out.
Their season's over.
Yep.
I don't know about that. Appalachian State's a pretty decent basketball team.
I agree. And that's what's unfortunate about those conferences, those mid-major conferences. And here's my argument to that. I heard somebody say this the other day, and I agree 100%. Because of conference tournaments in college basketball, mid-major conferences, just like that one, the regular season has become irrelevant. Yeah. Irrelevant. Because...
other than to try and get seeding for the conference tournament, but it just proved that that didn't matter yesterday.
Exactly. And the reason I say that is because something that I've talked a lot about on this program, where the conference tournament champion gets the automatic bid. You get rewarded for playing 4 good days of basketball rather than an Appalachian State team or anybody else that plays 4 months of good basketball, 3 months of good conference basketball, and you get burned because you didn't have your best stuff on one afternoon. I get that you should play and play your best in March and beat the teams you're supposed to beat. I get that, but this is also basketball. And if you're going to reward somebody for getting hot for 3 days rather than reward the team who was the best all season long, that's dumb to me. It makes zero sense, and teams like Appalachian State get the hose because they couldn't win in one game. They got beat on a buzzer beater on a Sunday night or a Saturday night, whatever. Like it just can hear it fires me up. It's ridiculous, man. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you cannot like mid-major teams.
They're the ones that get the short end of the stick. The Auburns of the world doesn't matter because Auburn makes the tournament most times. But those one bid leagues get the worst part of this.
Should Mississippi State be in over Appalachian State?
No.
What about Michigan State? He's got Michigan State a 9.
That's an abysmal Michigan State team. I watched them yesterday.
18-13.
And they lost to Indiana yesterday.
And they lost to pretty putrid Indiana, who we saw in Atlanta back in December. This is a Michigan State team that has lost 4 out of 5. And Lenardi has them in as a 9?
Well, you know who their head coach is.
Come on, man. Come on, Lenardi.
It's the same thing with when it comes to the same conversation we had back during college football. You can't tell me that the NCAA tournament and the NCAA and the TV providers don't make more money when Michigan State's playing on a Thursday than Appalachian State, right?
I mean, I guess so.
What's it all about?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's so many games on. So many channels at the same time. I don't know if it's quite apples to apples like it is in football, but I'm with you.
But
deep down, we know the truth there.
Yeah. Like, you know, if the average average person, not even a college basketball fan, but the Joe Schmo that turns on the NCAA tournament every year because they think it's exciting, but they don't watch college basketball most of the time. Not saying there's anything wrong with that. Just bear with me here. Your average college basketball or average person, not even a fan, just your average person who turns on the tournament on that Thursday afternoon, the first day, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's March Madness. I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
And they see Michigan State on the TV, you know they're going to click on that game. You know they are. And you can't tell me there's not some, a little bit of I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but you get what I'm saying here.
There's a lot of
favoritism. There's the word, favoritism.
Yeah, you're just talking about the mob of average fans out there who everyone pays attention to the beginning of March Madness, especially because even Susie in accounting will fill out a bracket, right? And she knows a little bit about Michigan State, that they've won a national title before. You know,
it's been a long time, though.
So if you're average Joe, though, and you're a regular fan and you want to watch some good basketball to start out the tournament, Jacob, big news, folks. Big news.
What a transition.
Join us with On the Line, followed by The Drive, for a live remote. That's right, 2 to 6, Thursday, March 21st, to tip off the tourney at the Plaza Bar and Lounge, home of the Warburger. Thirsty Thursdays at the Plaza Bar have never been more exciting than March 21st, with the first day of March Madness. Along with Jacob, Uncle T, Bill, and Dan, the Plaza, along with all the tourney games, will offer beer bucket specials. They always offer beer. $1 wings and much more.
Wait, hold on. Hold on. The bar's offering beer.
Yeah, just that day only. Doors open at 11 a.m. That's right, folks. March 21st with ESPN 106.7 live, 2 to 6 in the Shack on the Party Patio from the Plaza Bar in Midtown, your home, Auburn, Opelika, for March Madness. Be there or be square.
Boom. Come out. Join us. NCAA tournament that first Thursday. Whether Michigan State's playing or not, we're going to be there.
We can all cheer against them.
I have nothing against them. I just don't think they're a tournament team, but that's fine.
Well, I, you know what? When a team like that I don't believe gets in, I'm hating on them.
Okay.
I'm hating them on the whole tournament.
I love it.
You know, and they're the team that I normally pick to get ousted in that first round, and they win.
Well, that's also a fan base right now that's having some serious conversations on whether Tom Izzo is done or not in Michigan State, which is crazy to think about. He's been there forever, but they're starting to have those conversations up there at Michigan State. Want to reel this back to the SEC tournament bracket where, again, Auburn is a 4 seed. They'll play on Friday afternoon. They get the double bye. They'll be the second game of the day. They'll be the second game in the first little segment of the games. Who does Auburn want? Out of Vanderbilt, Arkansas, and South Carolina, the obvious answer, oh, we want to play Vanderbilt. Yeah, we know. But who does Auburn want? Which game favors them the most on that Friday? Give us a call, 334-321-1390. I'll give you my answer. I think it's South Carolina. I think you want to play South Carolina because of what you did the first time you played them. You beat them by 40. That's not going to happen again. But I just think the matchup, the thing we're talking about in the month of March, I just think Auburn matches up with them really, really well with Jani Broome, Dylan Cardwell, even your bigger guys like Jalen Williams and Chaney Johnson. South Carolina can't hang with that. On top of Auburn's guard play that is hopefully getting better, I think Auburn would want to see South Carolina. I want no piece of Arkansas, man. They're too sneaky. They're too talented. You saw them almost beat Alabama on Saturday. They should have, but they didn't. I think I want South Carolina.
Well, my thoughts are moving forward in any game, in a conference championship or the NCAA big dance, is you want to be matched up against the team that doesn't have the prolific offense, okay? Or doesn't he have the potential for prolific offense? And I look at all three of those teams, and I'd probably say Vanderbilt has the worst offense out of all of them. But, boy, Arkansas doesn't. I think Arkansas's got way more potential to put up points on you than South Carolina. And you get in some kind of funny, I don't know, boxing match with them, and they're just throwing punch after punch after punch.
Yeah.
They could land one. Well, I mean, you saw what they did. They just rolled up into Tuscaloosa and almost won. And then the week before, they just rolled up into Rupp Arena and almost won.
Mm-hmm. Those are two horrible defenses. And Auburn's defense is much better than those. But
yeah, I want to play against the team that just doesn't put up a lot of points, especially if Auburn's playing defense against them.
Yeah.
That just gets the odds better in my favor that we're going to outscore them. And I don't care if you win by one or 51, just win by one and move on.
There you go. We'll get to the phone lines when we come back. We'll keep talking a little basketball. Then Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joins us at the bottom of the hour. 334-321-1390. We'll get to the phone lines when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Let's get to the phone lines once again here on the Monday edition of On the Line, 334-321-1390. Shane, you're on the line, man. Who do you want Auburn to play in their first game of the SEC tournament?
Let me ask you one question first. Is South Carolina considered a quad one win?
I believe, well, this will be neutral floor, so it'll be top 50. Let me check the latest net rankings, because neutral floor.
We need that. So yeah. If they are, I want them, that's regardless
a good,
of
a good question.
How good they are.
Yeah, they were ranked 47th in the net as of last week.
So. They are 49 as of today. So technically, yes, yeah. It will be a quad one game. Yes.
Yeah, I'm picking up what you're laying
South
down
Carolina.
There. Yeah. Yeah.
I want South Carolina. I think I'm with you. Yeah. I think we match up better with them, and we need that win so we can, you know, maybe possibly bump up to a three seed.
That's a really good point, Shane.
That
That's
a
really,
point.
Really good point. Auburn right now in quad one games, it's not pretty. It's an ugly
right.
record in quad one. Auburn's 1-7 in quad one games.
I guess that's
got
to be what's holding us back from jumping up.
It is.
It is, definitely.
It is. But in every other quad, they're undefeated.
Right. I read everything I read about it. About, you know, the reason why we're firmly as like a four or you know, even five and some is because of those quad one wins. Every other thing that is you know, about Auburn right now is high. We're like six in the net or whatever, and so it, the only thing that we're lacking is those wins. And for some reason, I don't get it. I don't understand what happened.
The quad thing is weird too, Shane, because it's not just a one standard, okay, if you're this number and above, it's a quad one win, right? It's fluctuating. It depends on whether you play them at home, neutral side, or on the road. And
right.
And that's tough to deal with. And look, you can only play the teams in front of you, but yeah, Auburn's all of their losses have been against the top quality opponent. They just haven't beaten those teams very much, but I don't know. I'm not overly worried about it, but it's definitely what's holding them back.
I'm not worried that, you know, I would love for us to get up to a three seed if we can do that. It's just, I think things will shrink out a little bit easier for us if we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can get, if South Carolina is a quad one win, that I would want them, and then we would play Tennessee, right?
Correct. Yeah, if Auburn were to beat whoever they play in that quarterfinal, it's most likely Tennessee. They play the winner of State and LSU.
If we win those two games, then surely we can get that little extra bump. Everything I'm seeing is like we're like the first or second, you know, fourth seed.
Mm-hmm.
So bump up one or two more spots and maybe get in that 3C.
I like it. I think that's a really good point. Thanks, Shane. Yep, appreciate the call, man. That's a really, really good point. I will say this, though, and it's something that I've preached for a long time. I guess limit your expectations on what the tournament committee does based off of what Auburn does and what other teams do in these conference tournaments. I mean, because we've talked about it, they're making up their minds right now. Like, they're already deciding, okay, Auburn is 1-7 in quad one. They're not good enough for a three. We're not putting them up there. Their regular season numbers weren't great, so we're not going to bump them up anymore. Auburn is good enough to be a two or three seed. They are. But all I'm saying is we've seen this. We've danced this dance before. We've gone down this path, and other teams have as well. And I said it once, I'll say it numerous times. You do not want your NCAA tournament outcome. You don't want your life in the NCAA tournament to rely on what you do in conference tournaments. You just don't want it. It's a bad spot to be in.
I mean, basically what you're saying is what I like to call metrics gone bad. You know, just completely taking out anything that has to do with the eye test, and that Auburn's obviously playing some of the best basketball they've been playing all year, but they didn't have that great. We're going to use this metric to keep them back to a fourth. I'm agreeing with you here too, because I'm just dancing around looking at some of these other bracketologies, and I know we normally use ESPN and Lenardi, but Jerry Palm, everybody's favorite from Auburn bracketologist, himself over at CBSSports.com, has an article out as of about, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours ago, and it's got bracketology in a huge picture with a coach in the bracketology. Guess who he has pictured in there?
I guess I only have one guess.
Tom Izzo. And here we go. Yep. I think that you're onto something here, and it goes back a little further.
Talk to me.
He's got, in the article, Michigan State is back on bubble following a 65-64 loss to Indiana. But in his bracket, guess where he's got Michigan State?
They've been hanging around 8 or 9.
Got him a 9 also.
Yep.
Are they kind of trying to build up this pro narrative in the media just to get Izzo in there one more time? I don't know, like another coach they did with the college football playoff, because they perhaps know something that we don't at ESPN, that this may be Tom Izzo's last year and therefore last chance to be in the NCAA tournament. Inquiring minds want
to
know.
Not to speculate or anything, though. Not to speculate. Don't want to get that. Don't want to get that out there in the earth, but just make sure you turn up the radio dial just a little bit more. 334-321-1390. Mark, what's up, man? Happy Monday.
Hey, guy. I told y'all Tennessee's going to start their choke season early.
You called it. You did.
Those guys are unbelievable. Dalton Kinnick scores 40 points, and they still get slaughtered.
I mean, SEC Player of the Year goes for 40, and you get, I mean, beat pretty bad at home. Wasn't that really close of a game?
Yeah, they scored late a lot to make it look close.
That's right.
That 8.5 was covered mighty easily.
Yeah.
Hey, one thing, you know, Jerry Palm and Joe Lunardi, you know, it's good to read, but you can't take that word for a grain of salt.
That's right.
Well, it's the what-if game, right? It's Jacob's favorite game.
What if this team beats this team, and then they lose to this team, and it's only by 3 points here? And
what if it's Tom Izzo's last season as a basketball coach in the NCAA? Will they put him in?
Boom.
And I saw the what you were talking about today with the win and in. Like, you know, Mississippi State, if they win, they still may not be in.
Yeah.
I don't think they deserve to be in right now. If you want my, if they wanted Uncle T-Bone's opinion, I'd tell them they're out. Get out, dogs.
That's right. You lost 4 in a row, including, what, 2 or 3 of them at home.
Have fun in the NIT.
Yes, that's right. They can have another home game.
There you go.
But anyway, it's almost baseball season. Well, it is college baseball season, but the Braves not too long.
That's right. You're a big Braves guy, right, Mark?
Absolutely. Yeah, since we moved over here, we try to go to several games a year.
Love it. Love it.
But I wish I could go to more COD, swap the Braves for college any day when we've lived over there. But I love Auburn baseball. You know, they got kind of handed to them on Saturday, but they came back nice on Sunday, I think.
Yeah, they did.
I know you probably talked about it, but I just have to see you then.
That's right. Yeah, we mentioned it a little bit in the first hour. Yeah, that Friday game was great. Walk-off for Mason Manners at Auburn. Saturday, Austin Peay jumped on him and let him know about it the whole way, and then Auburn run-ruled him pretty heavily yesterday on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. All right, the women's tournament, are they having their selection show Sunday also?
Yes, sir. It is the same day on Sunday. Yep, they'll do the men's and then they'll do the women's. And Auburn should be, I mean, Auburn's in. Like, Auburn's in the tournament now. Whether they're a first four team or they're just in the tournament, I'm not sure. We got to wait and see on that for selection Sunday.
Hey, but that's what Johnny wanted. She wanted, you know, step-by-step progress, and that's what we're getting.
That's right.
All right, have a great day.
Thanks, Mark. You too, man. 334-321-1390. Yeah, that's exactly what Coach Jay wanted, was to just start building slowly, get to the NCAA tournament, something that Auburn women's basketball just hasn't done a whole lot in their time. And yeah, that has to be applauded as well. So,
yeah, can we get back to this net ranking?
Oh, I've got you. I've got you fired up. I've got you going.
Metrics drive me crazy.
Well, you know me. If all of my listeners right now, I'm going to ask you a question. If you've been with me for a long time, what do I prefer when it comes to sports? When I'm looking at a team and I'm trying to judge them, what do I use more than anything? You know this.
Eye test.
The eye test. I look at the eye test. How do you look when I watch you play against a handful of teams in this time of the year? I don't care what the metrics say. I know we have a really good friend in Jack Hudden that is all about the numbers. And numbers say a lot.
They do.
But what's the saying? Numbers don't tell the whole story. And I think it's really hard to just look at the numbers and say Auburn is 1-7 in quad one games. They can't beat a good team. They're not. They can't win the close ones. They're not going to make a run in the tournament. Are those things that in the back of my mind I worry about? Yeah, sure. But you can't look at this team and say they're not good because they're 1-7 in quad one games. I just won't accept that.
I mean, numbers don't lie, right? People do.
Well, there you go.
But there's also lies, dang lies, and statistics. And you can manipulate these metrics all you want. But if we're just going to play the metrics game, I'm over at NCAA.com looking at their NET rankings, the net. Auburn's sixth. Oh, okay, Uncle T. Well, you just picked out one that favors Auburn. I don't know. Let's go over to that other one that people like to talk about, the KenPom. And Auburn's four. But they don't have any quad wins, Uncle T. That's why they're a four. Look at the metrics, man. They should be better than a four. Auburn's a three seed, if you include the metrics in the eye test fact.
Yep, I'm with you on that. We'll get to the phone lines. Jacob Hillman joins us when we come back from the Auburn Sports Network. Stay tuned.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Monday edition of On the Line. We're all fired up in this studio on a Monday, man.
It's March Madness, man. It's here.
Madness Spring is upon fever. Us. That's right. Spring fever, madness, whatever you want to call it. And we're talking all things basketball, but we're going to talk all things Auburn now as we are joined, as we are every Monday, by Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. Hillman, happy Monday, man. Are you as fired up as we are on this Monday?
I mean, how can you not be? Like you guys were just mentioning, it's March. It's that time of year where all the conference tournaments are about to be played during the day. It's unfortunate we don't have any daytime basketball today, but that'll all get started soon enough. So, yeah, I can't complain.
Well, there's so much going on right now when it comes to Auburn athletics. We'll hit the big three and then allow you to get us caught up on all of the things going on. But let's start with baseball. We'll start with baseball and work our way into the basketball conversation. A crazy fun weekend over at Plainsman Park on Friday, Saturday, Sunday with a sneaky good Austin Peay team. Not sneaky anymore. They let you know how good they are. Friday night was a Mason Maynard's walk-off homer after Auburn came back in the eighth and then got the walk-off in the ninth to beat Austin Peay by a run. Then the Governors came in and some people would say they embarrassed Auburn on Saturday. Butch Thompson had some choice words for that, and then the Tigers responded with a big, big win yesterday.
Yeah, that response is the most important thing that Auburn's done so far this year. Because you look at the series in Jacksonville with Iowa, with Virginia, and Wichita State, and those performances were impressive on their own. But I really think that the response to an Austin Peay team that came in with a lot of confidence, like you said, sneaky good, and they'll prove to be a solid baseball team this year. I just thought it was so important for them to bounce back on Sunday the way they did. Let's look at it this way. If Auburn had won Saturday 6-2 and then won Sunday however they were going to win and swept the series, no one really would have batted an eye about this weekend. And, all right, Auburn did what it was supposed to do and is moving on to SEC play, or to Troy on Tuesday. But because of the way this team responded, I really feel confident about this team's attitude and this mindset that they had. That they whenever something goes wrong, they recognize it, and they're ready to bounce back. And I thought the pitching on Sunday was really rock solid. Christian Herberholz gave up a big two-run home run in the first inning, but settled in right after that. And then obviously Cam Philly came in with a big lead and was able to keep things that way. So I'm excited for what that team showed yesterday, as well as on Friday, and the resilience from two transfers, Christian Hall and Mason Manners, like you mentioned, to hit those home runs in the eighth and ninth inning to win that game. So a lot of positives this weekend. Obviously, Saturday was not great, but I do think it really showed this team some adversity that they needed to face.
Jacob, I'm looking at NCAA.com at the baseball rankings as of this past weekend, Auburn is ranked 18th. That's the good news. That's awesome. That's fantastic. That puts them 8th in the league. And we know they got to go play Troy. Hopefully that's not a look-ahead game up in Huntsville on their way to Nashville. They'll open up with number 9, Vanderbilt. And then in the top 4 alone, top 5, excuse me, you got Arkansas, LSU, Texas A&M, and Tennessee. And I believe Auburn plays all of them as well.
Yeah, it is a gauntlet in the SEC. It's not hard to deny that and realize that it's the best conference in America. And especially this year, I think it's even stronger this year than it has been in years past when you look at these teams that, especially that Auburn will have to face, the 4, the top 5, and then the 9th-ranked team in the country this upcoming weekend to open things up in SEC play. But, no, you're right. It is going to be a very tough year in the SEC to win a bunch of series, especially going on the road. I think that's where you have to look at things and realize that it's the home series that you're really going to have to get after in SEC play, because you get teams like Arkansas at home. You also get Tennessee at home. Those are your first two SEC home series. And then after that, it's Kentucky and Ole Miss and Alabama. Obviously, Kentucky and Ole Miss might be the ones that you want to get after. Ole Miss obviously hasn't been the same, it feels like, since they won that national championship. But yeah, it starts off this week, and you can't overlook that Troy game. That Troy team just came off a series win at Indiana, an Indiana team that was ranked at one point this year, and it's probably one of the better ball clubs in the Big Ten. So they've got a lot of offensive firepower. So Tuesday should be an exciting one up in Huntsville.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network with us here during the Monday edition of On the Line. Switching to the basketball side of things, Auburn and Bruce Pearl wrapped up the regular season on Saturday with a big win over Georgia. They finish up the regular season. Jani Broome is a first-team All-SEC. Jalen Williams, second-team All-SEC. And Aiden Holloway was named to the All-Freshman team as well. Summarize this regular season for me, Jacob. Been asking a lot of people this. Summarize what the regular season was for this Auburn basketball team.
Yeah, it was a really, really solid regular season. I think the way you have to look at it, this team obviously won every single game that it won by double digits or even by as many as 40 points like they did against South Carolina back on Valentine's Day. And I think individually, all these guys really kind of showed out at certain points during the season. Jani Broome was obviously the most dominant, getting those first-team All-SEC honors. He should have been Defensive Player of the Year, but we won't get too much into that. And Jalen Williams obviously did his thing to get second-team All-SEC. And Aiden Holloway, as much as we talked about the shooting struggles, he still gets his way onto the freshman team in the SEC. So I really can't say enough about these guys and what they've done this season and really have overcome some tough losses as well this year. After that App State loss, you go all the way back to December, and people were worried about that at that point, but they bounced right back a week later and won by 30 against Indiana. And obviously, some of these SEC losses, especially the one against Kentucky, to take a week off and bounce back from that one, I thought was a resilient group, and it shows that this team is ready for this time of year and ready to get after it, especially here in Nashville this week.
Jacob, Tigers are a 4 seed up in Nashville in the SEC Conference Tournament in Game 8. They will finally play on Friday. They'll play one of 3 teams, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, or South Carolina. JG had an interesting question to folks earlier before you were on the show, so we're going to ask you, out of those 3 teams, who do you want to see Auburn play?
Yeah, that's a tough one, because I think if you're talking about the top 3, the 3 seeds ahead of Auburn, it's got to be Tennessee. Obviously, you probably played your best game against, other than – I don't know. I feel like Auburn played better at Tennessee than it really did against Alabama at home. And obviously, Auburn played really well against Alabama at home. Obviously, you didn't play well against Kentucky at all in the one matchup you've had this season with them. So I think it has to go Alabama 1 that you most want to see. But, of course, I mean, think about that atmosphere in Bridgestone Arena.
Oh, yeah.
If those two teams match up in the SEC Championship, that would be absolutely incredible. And then I think Tennessee would have to be second, right in front of Kentucky. That's close. I just think Kentucky's really, really heated up recently. And, man, they look like the team to beat in the SEC and potentially in the other than those top three teams, obviously Houston, UConn, and Purdue. I think Kentucky is really that team that you got to look after when we get to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, before the Tigers get a shot at any of them, the debate was on Friday when they open up play in conference tournament. Would you like to see the winner of Vanderbilt, Arkansas against Auburn, or would you like to see South Carolina? We kind of went back and forth and felt like we'd rather see South Carolina because we think they match up better against them than just about those other two, and plus that might be a quad one win that could help in seeding with the big dance.
Well, yeah, I think as far as that goes, I think South Carolina is definitely the one you want to face. Jani's going to dominate in the paint like he did in that first matchup. And then Arkansas and Vanderbilt are just those two sneaky teams where Arkansas always gets hot late. They almost beat Alabama on Saturday. And the Vanderbilt, they're playing basically at home. So they got a big win against Florida. So, yeah, those would be the sneaky 12-13 seeds. But I think I'd rather play South Carolina because, one, you know you match up well with them. And, like you said, the metrics would like that a little bit better.
The SEC tournament hasn't been kind to Auburn in the last couple of years. There's been numerous one-and-dones. Hillman, I know there's only three possible games, but, like, what would be a I don't know. What would be an acceptable performance for this Auburn team? Is it winning the SEC tournament or maybe just getting to the weekend and just avoiding going one and done? What would be an acceptable in a performance in your mind, maybe from a fan perspective?
Yeah, I think it obviously depends on the matchups. I think regardless, you need to go up there and win one game and go and beat South Carolina, Arkansas, or Vanderbilt, whoever you face in game one. And I do think it is a little overstated how Auburn has struggled in Nashville to an extent because, one, since that 2019 championship run, you've only played in two tournaments because 2020 was canceled and then 2021 Auburn was had the postseason ban. So, it's been 2 years where you've been one and done, but 1 year you faced the Cinderella run in Texas A&M and last year you finished in the middle of the pack, so you're facing an Arkansas team that just randomly seems to get hot at the right time every year. I think that if you face Tennessee on Saturday, you don't, and you lose that game, that's not something you hang your head about, depending on how the performance goes. But if it's like the game in Knoxville, there's nothing you can really do about it. There's nothing you can say about it. So depending on the matchup on Saturday, so you need to go win that game on Friday, but depending on the matchup on Saturday, if it's Tennessee, that's the best team in the SEC. So if you lose that one in a close fight, then so be it. But I do think that this team is really setting up nicely for this week as well as beyond.
I mean, look at Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Network, bringing some rationality to the show. Auburn fans would never over-exaggerate a couple of losses, Jacob. Not any team not named Florida outside the top four, who do you think might be able to do some damage in the tournament and make a surprise run to the finals on Sunday?
Yeah, I would think it'd have to be between Mississippi State and Texas A&M. And both those teams are right there on the bubble, and they know they're playing for a lot this week. So Auburn could theoretically play Mississippi State on Saturday. If the Bulldogs can upset Tennessee, which they did once already this year, that was at Mississippi State and early in SEC play, then Auburn would face them on Saturday with a win over whoever on Friday. But I think Texas A&M as well, they're right there, that seventh seed. They're facing a team they just beat by 25 on Thursday. So I think they could get off on the right foot. And if they can get past Kentucky, they would be a scary team to face.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. He's always with us on Mondays here on ESPN 106.7. I know you got it ready, man. Pull out that Google Doc. Tell our listeners what else is going on around Auburn Athletics.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a busy week. It's not going to be as busy on campus as it has been in previous weeks, but it doesn't mean the action stops. So we'll have a baseball broadcast tomorrow. Andy and Brad will be up in Madison for that Troy game. And Brad will head up to Nashville for Vanderbilt, and Andy will head up for the men's basketball tournament. But we'll have Tiger Talk still in the studio on Thursday at 6 o'clock Central. That's on Wings 94.3. It's going to be all of your head coaches, Bruce Pearl, Butch Thompson, Coach Jay, Mickey Dean, as obviously the Tigers get ready for tournament play and SEC play, that's baseball, basketball, women's side, and softball. So excited for that. And then like we were talking about, it's going to be a big weekend in Nashville. So it gets started Friday, men's basketball in the quarterfinals of the SEC tournament against either South Carolina, Vanderbilt, or Arkansas. We'll go on the air at 2 Central, and then baseball will be playing at Vanderbilt that night. That'll be at 6 o'clock Central. Right back here on campus, though, Auburn hosts Arkansas in softball. That game is at 5 o'clock Central. And then on Saturday, it continues. There's gymnastics in Nashville. So if you're in Nashville this weekend,
how about that?
You have a chance to do a lot of Auburn athletics, whether that you can do men's basketball in the afternoon on Friday, baseball Friday night, and then hopefully you can do men's basketball on Saturday and gymnastics at night, and then Sunday you can wrap it up hopefully with an SEC tournament championship in Bridgestone Arena, and then head back down to the Plains or wherever you came from. So
yeah,
it's going to be an exciting week. So stay tuned for all of that.
Yeah, that's a lot, man. It's so much happening. It's March, man. It's one of the busiest seasons for college athletics, and nobody does it and covers it better than the Auburn Sports Network. Jacob Hillman joins us every Monday, telling everybody where to find you and everything you guys have going on with the Auburn Sports Network.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Jacob Hillman AU and follow the Auburn Sports Network at AU Sports Network for all the broadcast details coming up this week. We mentioned women's basketball. Their Selection Sunday is the same day as the Men's Selection Sunday, so we'll find out where the men and women are going for March Madness coming up this upcoming Sunday.
It's exciting times, man. We appreciate you. Stay busy, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Thanks for the time. War Eagle.
That's Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. Again, find everything they're doing with the Auburn Sports Network. You can follow them on social media, check out their website, all that good stuff. Look, I can't tell you all of it, and we're partnered with them. There's so much going on each and every day. It really is unbelievable. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it up here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line, we appreciate Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network getting us caught up on everything going on around Auburn athletics. It's been a great show today, man. We've had a lot of fun getting into some serious basketball talks with the SEC tournament coming up this week. Conference tournaments beginning tonight, where some have already been going, Uncle Timo. We have a couple tickets punched. I know Morehead State has made it to the NCAA tournament. I mean, we've got
Drake's in there.
Yep.
A little upset over Indiana State yesterday.
That was a crazy game, too.
Yeah, they were beating the Sycamores pretty good, and Indiana State came back, but Drake got them late.
Yep.
That gets Drake into the tournament and kind of puts in Indiana State right there squarely on the bubble.
That was a top 25 team at one point this year, man. That's what's crazy about all of that.
Yeah, not long ago either.
Right, a week or so ago. Right. So, you've got conference tournament games coming up tonight, Uncle Tebow, and you have a lot of them. You've got the CAA semifinals. You have those two. You've got the Southland tournament underway. You've got the Horizon League tournament underway in the semifinals. Hey, you got a championship game tonight. The Sun Belt Championship, that Arkansas State and James Madison game, will be tonight. You also have the SoCon Championship, East Tennessee State and Samford. That game is at 6 o'clock tonight. A couple of more semifinals. Summit League underway. Big Sky underway. The West Coast Conference. Ooh, this one's underway too. Don't worry, St. Mary's and Gonzaga playing out there. Not together, though. St. Mary's playing Santa Clara. Gonzaga playing the mighty, mighty San Francisco. So, you know, I'm sure that'll be a real test for the 17th-ranked Bulldogs at Gonzaga. That's the West Coast semifinal tonight because you know that's where they start, right? If you're the top two, you start in the semifinals of the West Coast Conference Tournament.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of do it a little different out there. That's a really strong Santa Clara team, though. Watch out for them.
So, some good games coming up tonight.
You said East Tennessee State. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, go ahead.
I watched them yesterday against UT Chattanooga and yesterday afternoon. And Chattanooga's a team that Auburn played, was a tournament team last year, had a pretty good record, and was beating East Tennessee State pretty good in that game. And the Buccaneers came back and got them 85-84. That's March Madness.
There you go. Samford favored by 9.5 points tonight. We were talking about that because as of right now in bracketology, that's who Auburn's going up against in Joe Lunardi's bracket. As a 4 seed for Auburn, a 13 seed for Samford if they were to go on and win their conference tournament. I don't want to play Samford.
I really don't want to play any in-state team to start the tournament. I mean, we've seen that before. Auburn's done pretty well with it when they took on Jacksonville State. But a long time ago, I can remember a South Alabama team upsetting Alabama in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, you're playing with nasty fire right there, man.
So that's somebody's Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Not to mention they're already in the tournament.
Bingo.
And they're excited about it. And then they're going to catch the in-state big boy, the bully. Oh, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, well, this is also a fun time of year, too, because you're starting to see teams make it and get those automatic bids and win their tournament, and you're seeing teams get there for the first time. That's always so much fun to see teams and programs make the NCAA tournament for the first time ever. It's so much fun to watch those. So conference tournament week, man, it's champ week, as ESPN brands it. Really exciting, going to be a lot of fun. SEC tournament will begin on Wednesday. That'll begin Wednesday night. Vanderbilt and Arkansas, then Missouri and Georgia. I'll talk a lot more about all of that coming up tomorrow. Double D will join us. Daryl Dapperich will be with us in the second hour as well. So, a lot of fun, man. It's the best month for basketball. We're going to talk a lot about it here on the show.
Well, it's been a heck of a show, Jacob. I'm looking forward to being back in studio. SEC tournament will be rolling by then, along with all the other major tournaments. So just an exciting time. Can't wait. And please don't forget March 21st. That's the Thursday live remote from the Plaza Bar and Lounge in Midtown.
Oh, yeah. We won't let you forget it either. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.